when I tell my kids, oh, have a look at this way, or look at this perspective, or they don't listen, or they say, oh, here we go again, or something like that. But every now and again, I get a little nugget of, I see that actually they are applying it. They never tell me, oh, you know what, that thing you said, but I will see it. And that fills me with joy. Not because they are getting the tools that they need, because confidence is so important, and if they can have that, things will be so much easier for them.
Welcome to Imperfect Momming. Our children are constantly looking to us for examples. The term role model doesn't quite cut it here. We are shaping their worldview with every move we make. You see, it's not in the lectures we give or moments where we are actively attempting to teach them. It's in the micro movements we make, the unconscious ways in which we navigate life. We are constantly teaching our children how to show up for themselves, their friends, their future partners, and even their future children. So what can we do to ensure we are raising thoughtful, compassionate, self-aware human beings? We have to become them ourselves. No one is perfect, but we can still all be better, and it starts with self-healing. Let's get to it.
Welcome back to Imperfect Momming, and we have a very special guest today who I didn't find out how you say your name. Is it Chantel?
Yes, exactly.
MC. Yeah. Well, welcome to Imperfect Momming.
Thank you so much, Alicia. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really grateful.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, thank you. So my name is Chantel Dempsey. I am a confidence coach. I am based in the UK, but I work with clients all over the world. And I mostly help people going from self-doubt to full confidence. And typically in 6 weeks, it's kind of very fast track, but very deep work. And before that, I did a couple of other things, but probably the most significant is that I spent 15 years in law enforcement as a criminal profiler. And I have three children. They're aged 15 is the oldest, a girl and my daughter. And then I've got two boys aged 12 and 10.
So that's quite a jump.
Yes, it is. Well, which bit? Three kids or?
Well, three kids is, you know, a challenge in and of itself. But what I meant was from police to confidence. And I'm super curious how you went from that to that. And then we'll talk about being a confidence coach and even how that plays out in your parenting.
Brilliant. Yes. I mean, So I basically started my career, my working life career in law enforcement. I started as a criminal intelligence analyst and then moved up and then spent most of my career doing criminal profiling and intelligence. But within that, I was always a natural coach and always very, I don't mean to blow my own trumpet, but very good at building relations with people and connecting and coaching, I guess. And then, of course, you know, becoming a manager of people, then that kind of really came naturally. All my life, I've always had people saying you should be a life coach or you should be, you know, in that kind of job. And I loved my career in law enforcement. But I think, honestly, the last probably 2-3 years, there was so much red tape. It's very frustrating. And I just decided to leave. I then spent 3-4 years building a company, a completely different company. So I actually left to become a coach, but then I got sucked into creating a company with my then husband. And I did that for a few years, but then realized that I just really, really needed to follow my true vocation and get back on track to what I actually left the police to do. And I trained, I became a fully trained life coach, and I also trained in neurolinguistic programming and hypnotherapy. because I realized that a lot of work in order to really take effect has to be done with the subconscious mind, and that this is, has always been a bit of an obsession of mine. And I absolutely loved it. And the more I learned about it, the more I trained in different therapies and different things to then build to then help people. Mm-hmm. The reason I specialize in confidence is because I love it. And also because confidence and self-esteem are real building blocks of everything. So if your confidence is strong, everything else falls into place. So you naturally wouldn't have anxiety. You naturally would find clarity and be able to reach your goals, and everything falls into place. It's incredible.
Yeah. I can see that. That's been quite a journey, summed up in 30 seconds or less.
Yes. Yes, no, it has been. I mean, I actually did all of these changes happen in my 40s as well. So just to say that it is never, ever, ever too late. You know, I was actually talking about this in an earlier meeting with somebody who's 53, a woman who's 53 and completely changed her life at 50. So, yeah.
Well, I love that it's never too late. Because I think that that's a big thing that people can believe, is that it's too late. I'm X number of years old. I've missed the boat. And now I'm SOL. If you're not familiar with that, that's shit out of luck.
Yeah. I love it. Yes, no, but absolutely. And especially when you have children and you end up dedicating a lot of your time and your energy to the children, and you know, you do feel a bit like sometimes you act a bit in second place and not really putting yourself and what you want forward. So yes, I think it's but once you do it and you get started and get to where you want to be, it's amazing.
Yeah. What would you say is the biggest benefit to a mom having a high confidence?
I think it's the model that you give, and the role model being that role model. I think it's also, for me, the tools that I have learned in order for me to then do my job. And obviously I apply it to myself, but I have a lot of tools that I pass on. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Alicia, more times than not, when I tell my kids, oh, have a look at this way, or look at this perspective, or they don't listen, or they say, oh, here we go again, or something like that. But every now and again, I get a little nugget of, I see that actually they are applying it. They'll never tell me, oh, you know what, that thing you said, but I will see it. And yeah, that fills me with joy. Yeah. Not because they are getting the tools that they need, because confidence is so important. And if they can have that, things will be so much easier for them.
Yeah. I love that, because, you know, that's my experience too. My son's eyes roll back in his head when I start giving him what he calls life lessons. And I'm using air quotes if you're not watching the video. but when I give him these life lessons, the eyes go back in his head, but I hear it, like I hear it landing for him. I recognize it in his behavior and even the way that he communicates with me. You know, last night we were talking about where he feels that I control everything in his life. And that's not my experience of him and my parenting. And so he's so aware of what's going on in his mind and in his body. And I wasn't that aware at 12 years old. And so I know that that's coming from my awareness and my partner's awareness. Like we're aware of what's going on with us. And then we communicate that with him. And so it gives him that tool to dig in to what's going on in his mind. And it's just, it's a totally different experience than what I hear a lot of parents having with their kids.
Yeah, that's amazing, Alicia. Yeah, absolutely.
And I know that I asked the question that way because a lot of times moms won't do it for themselves first, but they'll do it for their kids. We were doing a workshop. Now I don't remember what it was called, but it was it was Full Esteem Ahead for children's self-esteem. And a lot of what we talked about is mom self-esteem, because they're catching more than what we're saying, which is what you were saying about, and you know, with the eye rolling, which was what I was talking about too. You know, they don't want to hear the lesson. Like they're not listening to the lecture. They're watching the show.
I love that. I love that. I'm gonna remember this. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think it's also things like the way your response is to situations and towards the situation itself, but also towards them. You know, like a lot of people with who would lack self-esteem typically would, I don't know, drop a glass on the floor and say, "Oh, I'm so stupid," or "I can't do anything right." And I think I see a lot of children do that as well. But I think if this happens to your own children and you say, okay, you know, it was an accident, it's okay, this happens, how can you maybe try to not do it next time? Or how can you, you know, do you know why this happened? But kind of do it in a really gentle way that doesn't shame them and doesn't bring it back to the fact that they are silly for doing that, or they are. So it's not a reflection on them. It's just a situation that has happened. Yeah. This is really important as well.
Yeah, I think that's probably my biggest struggle with my son in this moment is his connection between who he is and what he does. Like, I'm a good kid if I do this, and I'm a bad kid if I do that. And I mean, that came up yesterday too. So very timely to talk to you. And it's hard for me to even break that because it's in the water. It's in the culture. And you know, you're a good kid if you get good grades, and you're a bad kid if you get bad grades. And it's really not like who you are as a person. You have value because you're here on this planet. You have just as much value as anyone else just because you're here. And what you do, you know, is irrelevant to your value. But it's hard. Yeah. That's not the message that they get, or that any of us get.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know what, Alicia, you say that my other children, my children amongst themselves say things that I think, oh, why are you saying this? Don't say this. Like they would say, oh, you're useless, or it's like, please don't say things like that. Mm-hmm. Don't, but they hear it and they repeat it. And, you know, you just have to trust that what you're saying and how you're behaving yourself. Well, for me, most of the time, then we'll end up, you know, programming them somehow, you know, mm-hmm. programming the right things that at least, like you say, don't identify an action with a being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've tried to tell him I'm proud of him just for being the good kid that he is, and it's like he demands a reason why, and I'm like, no, I'm just proud of you because you're a great person. Like, you're a really good kid. Well, why? I'm trying to not attach your doing to your being, because we're human beings, not human doings.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yes. Yes, I hear you, Alice, absolutely. Yeah, it's 12 as well, it's a tricky age, I find. you know, because when they're teenagers, you kind of almost expect it. But 12, yeah, they're not little. They have a great understanding of the world already and of things that are happening. And they are changing themselves, of course. I find it's a tricky age, 12.
Yeah. So what is a piece of advice that you would want to share with moms listening?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and I cannot think of one, which one would be best. There are a few, but I would say probably the one that changed things the most for me mm-hmm. was to apologize. Mm. And obviously I have gone through my own journey. I am by no means a perfect parent. I by no means act what I preach all the time. I lose my temper. I am unfair. I am, and it's always the same, isn't it? You are the most unfair with your children when you are the most stressed, not when they have done the worst things. Mm. But I would say for me, what has changed a lot for me, in my perspective, at least as a parent, is to apologize. Yeah. So when I do something that I feel I shouldn't have done according to my own values and beliefs and the way I want to show up as a parent, I will then apologize. So I will tend to, if I do something like that, I will tend to, I'm getting good at recognizing it, and then I will maybe walk away. I will explain why I'm walking away, because I don't want to get any more annoyed or whatever it is. And then later on, I will go and apologize. And I have noticed that actually they have kind of mirrored that, that kind of behavior, not always, and some more than others, but I find that really transformative. And for me, it's been very transformative, because what that does as well is it kind of gets you away from the guilt, you know, mom guilt. You do something and you think, oh, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have lost my temper. I shouldn't. And then it's like, well, you know what? You're only human, you're trying your best. And this isn't to excuse or justify what you're doing. This is just to stop the shame cycle. Doesn't help anybody, doesn't do anything. And so I will apologize and say, I'm really sorry I've done this. I was a bit stressed and I realized that was unfair, and you know, that was it. And then that's it, move on.
And that's so this huge. Is probably the- Yeah, that's huge. How do you feel like that affects our children's self-esteem in we making a mistake and then not apologizing versus apologizing?
I think it's a kind of a self-responsibility. And for me, actually, I have to admit that people who don't take, I get triggered by people who don't take the responsibility. So for me, it's a big thing. It's a big value. And this concept of, you know, apologizing to your children, at first, I guess my parents never really did that. And I think it's kind of, you have to show strength and you have to that figure of authority. But actually, I find that works extremely well for me. I think it's it shows them to take personal responsibility for your actions. So if you have made a mistake, everybody makes mistakes. You're only human. It's okay. It doesn't mean you're a terrible person. Just put your hands up and admit it, and then apologize. And again, it's that modeling thing, isn't it? You kind of show what to do or how you feel that is the right way to behave.
Yeah, I've been doing that for I think I started during COVID, because I think that was when I might have picked up a book that helped me kind of connect those dots. And and that since then I've tried to practice the pause before the eruption. I'm definitely, that is still a practice. I'm still working on that one. But what's beautiful is that when I don't, then, like you said, stop the shame cycle. I mean, that is so huge for releasing mom guilt, which is like one of my favorite topics to talk about. Yeah. And if you can stop that shame cycle and reflect on like, what was it that created that reaction? And then not only apologize, but explain to them why I reacted that way. I was feeling this, you did this. I was feeling that. I made it mean this. Excuse me. And then, you know, in the future, I'm going to try to do this, or I'd like you to try to do this. And I the amount of pride I felt the first time my son did that right back to me, I was like, oh, it's so amazing. It works. Like they really are, you know, I didn't sit him down and teach him to do that. You know, it was, I just did it and he modeled it back to me. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Is there a book that's been instrumental in your personal development journey?
Yeah. Again, I've thought long and hard about this because there has been so many and there has truly been so many. But if I have to pick one, it's actually a very unusual one. This isn't what you would expect, Alicia. It's a book called Storyworthy by Matthew Dix. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I have not.
And so this book is actually a book about storytelling. So Matthew Dix is a storyteller, a professional storyteller, and he's had all sorts of things happening to him, and he's written this book about how to tell a story. But within that book, I found so many wow moments. And one of them is that he says, so within the context of finding a story material for his stories, he keeps a spreadsheet, and every day he finds a moment that is going to be story worthy. And he's actually a father. He's got two children, I think. And he talks about an instance where he was sat at the dinner table and his little boy was eating, and how he really noticed that everything about it. So the face of his little boy, and then started having all these thoughts about how this moment will never happen again, and how he was going to grow up. And then, you know, and then the same, another, he gives another example where his daughter goes to somewhere and gives him a hug. And normally he would kind of give a quick hug and then dismiss it because he's got some work to do. But actually he kind of thought, no, this might be my moment today. And then really held on to it again, thinking this might be the last time that she hugs me, because she's getting towards that age where she might not want to anymore. And that really made me think a lot. And I know we talk about being present and all of this, but what this brought to me is have a moment like this every day. And I love that. And I have to admit, I don't do it every day. I, of course, did it after reading the book, but now you kind of get lost in the habit. But every now and again, I do really think about it.
Yeah.
And that has really changed a lot of things for me to really notice, because also what you do is that because you look for that moment, you start to notice all the moments, and it's just amazing.
That's really cool. I'm definitely going to check that out, because I used to do something sort of similar when I was writing my blog. It was like the what I learned this week, but what I learned this week from my son specifically. Sometimes it would be from him. Most of the time it was from him. Sometimes it'd be from just other encounters. But I like that idea of like story worthy moments. Yes. So I'll definitely have to check that out. Where can our listeners find you?
So my website, which is www.chantaldempsey.com. And all the details are there. And I'm always happy to hear from anybody, or any questions are always welcome.
Yeah, amazing. Well, I appreciate your time and effort and your what you're doing in the world, because I think that self-esteem, like you said, is the thing that propels everything. Like I never would have connected that to, you know, success necessarily. But it's definitely given me something to chew on for sure.
Thank you so much, Alicia. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. So we'll have another episode of Imperfect Mommying coming for you all next week. And until we meet again, keep healing. Bye, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to Imperfect Mommying. It's time for us to step up and realize that our power is not in trying to shape our children. Our power lies in shaping ourselves into the people we want our children to model themselves after. Don't just do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. When you become a more self-aware, compassionate, and confident person, you and everyone around you benefit. For more information about me and my work, visit alishalyons.com. That's alishalyons.com. See you next time.